Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I don't think we have the camera on there, do we? This morning, I don't see a red light, I don't think. All right, but anyways, I have Chad Kinsella here, and he is a professor over at Lander. And we have Richard Stone here, and we have an election coming up down there in Charleston. In fact, tomorrow night is the big debate between Curtis Bostick and former Governor Mark Sanford. So we thought it'd be interesting to have a little conversation. So how are you doing today, Chad?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
It's good to have you here.
It's good to be back.
And we also have Richard Stone. He is, what did you tell me? You were out of school this semester?
Yes, I graduated, and I'm actually preparing for my master's program next fall.
Next fall. So what are you doing? Are you working or just preparing?
I'm working at the moment and preparing.
Working and preparing. Where do you work?
I work at the Pizza Hut on Edgefield Street, and I'm also applying for a position in the probation office in Greenwood.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds good. So what do you want to be when you grow up?
A student, obviously.
It's a student forever and ever. It's good work if you can get it,
right?
Yeah.
No. But be a professor.
I actually plan on being a city manager once I get my master's degree.
Okay. What do you want to get your master's in?
I want to get in public administration.
Public administration. Okay. Well, we want to talk a little bit about what happened down there in Charleston in the first district. And Chad, what do you think about how everything laid out there?
It was incredibly interesting. I was looking at some of the results last night, and well, we have Mark Sanford again. So, name ID and money go a long way. And just kind of looking at some of the results, he did very well in Charleston, Charleston County again. So, and that really, I mean, he, you know, by a long shot easily won that. Again, there's going to obviously be the runoff, but I mean, he did extremely well, where he needed to do it. So, again,
well, does that have to do with forgiveness and, flawed candidates and everything? I understand that Wiener is thinking about getting back into politics. He jumped out, a little over a year, and Wiener may be back in again.
Yeah, I still wonder maybe if he could have maybe even survived that whole scandal, because, you know, it's kind of one of those things. You can go and ask for forgiveness, and depending upon your district, you can get it. If you think about Jesse Jackson Jr., he had that huge cloud over his head, during the 2012 election, and easily won re-election again, and now he may be going to prison, we are very forgiving, it turns out.
What does that say about our country, though, being that forgiving? I mean,
I wonder, again, one of the things that this makes me think about is just the fact that we have these safe districts, and you have name a recognition, and we have people that are tied to a party. We'll elect anybody. I guess I was talking to Richard on the way in. I was thinking about, it's almost like we've become Italian politics. I was thinking of, because in Italian, my cousin went over to Italy, and he was always aghast at the fact that these Italian politicians would get in trouble, and they would sometimes even go to prison, and they would come out and ask for forgiveness. And being a very Catholic society, grew up Catholic, it's kind of like, if you ask for forgiveness, you are given it. It's like Berlusconi, again, you come out and you can run again, and all is forgiven. So kind of interesting ties to, I wouldn't associate Charleston with being a huge Catholic population, but it seems like it, given what happened. So, you ask for forgiveness, and it seems to be given. So that seems to be what has happened. Yeah, people are able to come back and have their comebacks, apparently. So
absolutely,
there's a whole lot of interesting things that go. And sometimes, it just seems kind of unbelievable. I remember when I first heard about Mark, Sanford running again, I thought, surely no one would vote for him again after what he's done, especially really the whole scandal is barely just over yet, and it should be fresh in people's mind, but here we are again. I mean, he was easily the top vote getter in this whole thing, and now that the fear was narrowed down to I can't help but think that even though Bostick seems like a really good candidate, I was kind of looking over his bio last night. I think Sanford kind of has a juggernaut, at least with name ID and the money that he's raised. So again, at least in the Republican runoff here, that's going to happen. I would have to say that he's the favorite easily.
Absolutely. Well, Richard, what do you think about what is happening down there? What do you think? Do you think our candidate should be so, I'm going to use the word, so easily forgiven?
I personally enjoy the fact that we've brought Jerry Springer into Charleston, South Carolina. It's very nice to be able to see that everybody can just do whatever they like when they're in government and then come back a few years later. Honestly, though, I'm disappointed in Sanford just the way he acted, especially toward his wife and her feelings in the situation. Mm-hmm. And I felt like she should have ran in the race, just go ahead and spice it up a little bit further, see who would really won.
Well, then that would have definitely given us a national platform here, wouldn't it?
That's absolutely right.
It would have been a national election, not just a South Carolina election. You know, some of the comments that have been made, Chad, are the fact that, yes, Mark Sanford got 36.9%, 37% of the vote. But if you add up all the rest of the vote, does that bode well for Sanford or not? Did people vote for Sanford, or did they vote for a candidate because they really believed in the candidate, or were they voting against Mark Sanford?
My thought, and this is, I have not, again, I like to use a lot of political maps to kind of give me some of the answers. And what typically happens in a lot of, in the South, and really anywhere, I mean, not only in the South, but, you know, really across across the country is, but, you know, you have this localism. So my guess is that these people, again, you have a huge number of people who ran in this primary. My guess is that they probably did really well right around where they live, right? You know, wherever, maybe in and around Buford, in and around Charleston County, wherever they happen to be from.
Sure.
And again, it's interesting. It's like we were looking at a primary in Georgia, and it was really interesting. You didn't have quite as many people run. But again, it was interesting because it broke up and it perfectly into regions, and it is exactly where those people were from. So my thought is that those people probably did fairly well. I don't know that there was a vote for Sanford. Well, Sanford has that name ID, and he also, it helped that he had the money. But my guess is a lot of these people probably did fairly well in the areas where they're originally from. And I think...
So they got voter support from their area.
They got voter support from their area. And again, and this is kind of a thing where that's one of the interesting things with primaries is, you know, you don't have a party ID to grab on, so you just have a name. So I'm sure that these people probably campaigned very heavily in the areas where they're from, and probably, you know, probably did fairly well, you know, in their area, but also ultimately not enough to carry them. And again, they just don't have that Sanford name. Probably that is what carried them. Now again, that's my guess. I didn't have a chance to map it out, you know, by precinct, but I would bet any amount of money that that's probably what happened. And typically what happens is those people, I don't think that they're going to switch. Well, you know, maybe this might be an interesting case, but I doubt that they'll, you know, that these are going to be the people switch over. Now, the key thing is, are they happy enough with Sanford to show up? Because these special elections are really, really tricky. Lots of odd things happen in these special elections. And if you don't have a good ground game, if you have an unpopular candidate, or if you have, you know, a contingency of the population who, you know, aren't happy with Sanford, if those are anti-Sanford votes, are those people going to show up? And I think that's the big question. But my guess is that those are people that they probably got their you know, constituency, the people really close to where they live, to vote for them. That's my guess. Ultimately, and probably you have some anti-Sanford, anybody but Sanford type of vote in there, I would imagine, because I'm sure he's a very polarizing figure.
Absolutely.
Given the reaction that have in national news and local news and kind of, you know, talking to people around here, very clearly very, very polarizing. So there are going to be some of those votes in there, but I think it's probably more the local people.
All right. Well, Richard, what do you think? We're going to have a runoff here, and do we think that it could be possible that Elizabeth Colbert Bush could pull this off and change a totally Republican district? I mean, she got 15,800 votes in from the Democratic side. Could she pull it off?
I believe it certainly is possible, just by the fact that she has her own name recognition from her brother. And just like Dr. Kinsella was pointing out, that Sanford's people may just go away from him in droves to go into her camp, because she is a woman and she can push that issue that Sanford was objectifying women, as well as treating...
Well, I understand it's 51% of the voters are women down there.
Absolutely, and they lean more toward the middle than the upstate does. So, I mean, they're more likely to be more affectionate to that kind of thought process, which I'm not going to say that Sanford was right in any of his choices, especially asking his wife to run his campaign for him again. But I do think it is a possibility.
It is a possibility. All right. Well, hey, we are here with Richard Stone, a graduated student from Lander. We're here with Chad Kinsella. He is a professor at Lander. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. So don't you go away.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
All right, we're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Hey, I'm Ann Eller here with Chad Kinsella, and who is a professor at Lander and a recent Lander graduate who graced us last year in November after the election and provided an enlightening conversation for me and I think a lot of our listeners here. So it's good to have you here, Richard Stone. Now, Richard, what do you think? If you were in that district, and being a political science, you did major political science, right?
Right.
How would you be thinking about voting on this? We have Curtis Bostick, we have Mark Sanford, and we have Elizabeth Colbert Bush.
Personally, I would probably just stay away from the election. Just abstain.
See, now, wait a minute. Now, that's terrible. That's terrible.
Well, here's the problem. You have one candidate who is writing off, and since this is a special election, short amount of time, they're writing off their money and previous name recognition, good or ill, and pushing out any decent candidates. You have the second candidate that's going to be a major competition across the row. She is also running off of name recognition. Now, I can't cross the row and feel good about myself. I can't exactly vote for the person who cheated on his wife as well as lied to all the constituents that voted for him in the state. So I think the smartest thing...
But he apologized.
and he also went up to his wife and asked her to run his campaign and said this time he'd pay her.
This is true. But, okay. But then there's... what about Curtis Bostick?
Honestly, I was looking for Peter McCoy to kind of do a little bit better than he did. He was kind of my pick, and I actually do some work with CSM Strategies, the consulting firm, and they were kind of getting behind him, and then he had to step out just because everything didn't go so well. As you can see, with Sanford, essentially the 800-pound gorilla in the room just pushed everybody out. No one could build up against the money that he's willing to throw around. Since he's already on his third television commercial, he's already spent over $125,000. Nobody can really compete with that with the amount of time. And places like Club for Growth, they're not going to jump in because they've had agreements with Sanford in the past. So no one can get money to compete with him. And I honestly just don't – I really don't feel comfortable voting for him because – if he does win, what's going to happen in Washington? Is he going to go to Canada and find him a nice Quebec person that he's in love with?
Well, that's interesting. I thought he was engaged to our...
But he's married before. I mean, you know.
But he's divorced now. Hey, I figure the problem is she needs a visa. That's what I figure. And that's probably why she is not here and not part of the... once they get, if he is elected, I'm sure. And the other thing I have thought of, maybe she wanted him to have a real job.
That's true. Very true. Very true.
But, you know, then there are those that look at Governor Sanford and said he did a lot for the cause, for the Republican cause. And so how do you justify it? Chad, what do you think?
You know, he is still very popular in a lot of circles. There are, I mean, really, if you... You know, something I was thinking about is looking at some of the articles, and, you know, had he not done his little trip, I guess we'll say. And,
The Appalachian Trail.
Argentina via the Appalachian Trail. Who knew it ran that far? Anyway, but, you know, he might have been a contender in 2012. I mean, the idea was, the sky was the limit for him. He was, a huge favorite, you know, nationally. And again, before I came to South Carolina, you know, Sanford was a national figure. I was basically in Cincinnati, Ohio. You know, people knew who Sanford was, or really is, and now that he's back. So,
thank you.
You know, there is a contingency of people, you know, and if they are willing to get around the fact that, you know, his transgressions, I mean, there are a lot of people who believe that he did a lot of really good things. And so he does have a constituency of people who maybe are, you know, more easily susceptible to saying, you know, we don't agree with what you did, but, you know, we can still vote for you again. And you know, maybe Congress, maybe, you know, maybe this is kind of that stepping stone, maybe do a little less damage, perhaps, as opposed to governor. But anyway, so there is a constituency of people who do believe that he did a really, you know, he did a really good job and he did a lot for the party.
Sure.
Prior to his transgressions.
Well, he was on the short list to become the next presidential candidate.
You know,
when he blew it.
Yeah,
I mean, really, he did it. And you know what? We can never go back and know what happened with history and what happened had he run. But, you know, South Carolina is a key state within the Republican primary. So, and you know, we would think that he would easily won that one. So, you know, would that have been enough momentum? You know, maybe he ran against Obama. I don't know. We, of course, we'll never know. But I mean, so there is a group of people, a large group of people out there who do feel that he did a very, very good job. And so, you know, it's not, you know, there might be some anti-Sanford people out there, but there are some people who have, outside of his one mistake, I'll take his line, you know, he did a lot of good. So he is he still is a popular figure in a lot of different circles.
I just think politics and flawed individuals seem to go together, don't they, Chad?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
All right, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be back. Don't you go away.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
All right, we're back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We're just talking about some of the interesting things that you learn when you're going to campaign school.
Yes.
Chad, go ahead and just explain that to you. So that's an interesting, because we do have so much of this. And, you know, part of it, I think, is society is changing so much.
Well,
I mean, we have gay marriage in front of the Supreme Court today, yesterday and today. I mean, society is definitely changing. But go ahead and tell us what you were just telling us.
Well, I guess, you know, society is changing. Colorado it just repealed a bill that made adultery, you know, it was illegal in Colorado, although I don't think anybody had been, you know, fined or anything with that. But they have just changed that. And they said, you know, it's not something that we want to, you know, legal, you know, be a part of anymore, and that's something the government should regulate. So it's kind of this idea is maybe like a hands-off, and personal problems and politics are politics, and maybe they shouldn't go hand-in-hand. And again, so what we were talking about off the air, I had gone years ago when I worked on campaigns, I went to a campaign finance college, where the party will remain nameless, but anyway, there is also there are two. you take your pick, but anyway, so it's the both parties offer not only a campaign finance college, but a campaign college. You could go there and you know, learn about how to run a campaign. And part of that class for both of them, at least the last time I looked, was what happens if your candidate cheats on his wife. Typically, it was more male, but if your candidate does some sort of egregious action, usually cheating on his wife, how do you get through the election? So, I mean, this is a part of politics. Sadly, but I mean, it is something that if you're going to run a campaign, it's something you have to prepare for. And really, it's kind of, you know, if kind of now starting to take a moment to think back. I mean, it happens almost, you know, several times every election cycle. I mean, it happens in all kinds of different parts of the country, so we really never ever get to look at it. And people still are able to win election. People are still able to come back. So again, it's it's something that it's almost become part of the campaign. I don't know if that's a if that's necessarily a good thing about the people we're electing, but I mean, it is a reality of campaigns today that you have to deal with and find a way to get around these type of problems. And if you look at what's happening, apparently we're being very, very effective. So the message is working. In order, you know, we can get around. So if you do cheat on your husband or wife and run for office, we can help you.
There's the spin doctors.
Yes,
right?
we can spin it in such a way, and you know, you can be forgiven, and you can run, and you can get elected, and go on your merry way.
Well, there you go. Richard, though, I do have one little problem with Governor Sanford. I do believe that Governor Sanford believed in term limits, and I do believe that he's already spent 3 terms in Congress. Does that mean if you step out for a few years, you can go back around and start over?
I think that I think he's going to forget about that little policy that he was trying to push. It generally only applies to people when they are either about to retire or they don't have – they think they're going to take a step up and not have to worry about it any longer. And I don't think we're on.
Do you think term limits as a young person here who is now going to have the world in their hands here as we all grow older here, do you think term limits are important?
I think they are in a sense because you do you don't want people just riding the chair all the way into retirement because they're just – you want some action. I mean, I know our system's built to where it's – supposed to take a slow, arduous process that's supposed to come out with the best result. But as we're seeing now in Congress, it's come to the point where it's just nothing is being achieved. And I think that maybe a little fresh blood in there every once in a while would help. And I think term limits would be a good thing because of that.
So regardless of what somebody said a few years ago about term limits and they're running today, it doesn't really matter? It doesn't matter that you screwed around. It doesn't matter what you said a few years ago. Now what you're saying today?
Oh, I mean, I hold him accountable for everything he said. That's one of the reasons why if I lived in the area, I probably wouldn't vote for him. It's just because if he's going to cheat on his wife, is he going to cheat on my values?
Sure.
I mean,
you know, and one of the things we haven't talked about is where is his Argentina love child, love person? Yes. Where is she? What is going on? Do you think it has something to do that maybe she needs a visa to come back?
It could be that. Maybe that's why he's running. My thought is that is probably a person that I'm sure that he loves greatly.
Okay.
We hope, or at least right now, but anyway, so...
Well, when he gets to Congress, there'll be a lot more possibilities.
Right.
Yes, so there's a whole lot of other... So we hope that he, you know, we're hoping that he'll... It seems like he'll stick with that one, but that's probably not somebody that he would probably want to bring around, even if she did have the visa or whatever she needed to actually be here. That's probably not someone that he would want to take around because that is going to be a constant reminder of those past transgressions in which he's probably trying to get around us. And again, if you think about like in the minds of people, in the minds of voters who are going to, you know, cast this ultimately this vote in this special election, you know, that is something that is tied, you know, Sanford and you know, this Argentinian friend, mistress,
yes,
whatever we want to call her,
it's,
you know,
fiancé
now,
they're
sorry,
engaged,
is
yes,
is fiancé, you know, that is something that, and that's a big negative. So that's probably not something that he wants around because that is going to constantly remind those voters about the one thing, maybe according to him, that he did wrong during his tenure as governor. And that's, and as a politician, you don't want that reminder.
Exactly. Well, you know, we've talked a lot about Governor Mark Sanford. We haven't really talked that much about Curtis Bostick. Does anybody have anything about Curtis Bostick? I mean, we do have where Santorum is actually backing Curtis Bostick. Can that make a difference for him? He also has said, I will say this, Curtis Bostick, they are having a big debate tomorrow evening. Mm-hmm. Curtis Bostick has said that he is not a good debater. So where is this going to take us? That's what he said. He said that he is, I read this, he's not a good debater.
Well, that's a good campaign strategy, actually, because you want to set the bar low. And I'm sure Sanford is a fantastic debater. So, again, it's one of those things you want to set the bar low, and then so we have very, very low expectations for him, and then perhaps, you know, maybe he does a good job. You know, he's interesting. I was looking over his bio, and you know, he's got a nice campaign website, you know, trying to get donations. He has a really good, you know, really a great resume. Mm-hmm. Really, in any other time, you know, you would think that this would be a really good person, you know, to run for office. And he was, I think he was a Marine. He was in Operation Desert Storm. He had volunteered. He's been very active in Charleston. So, I mean,
he's on county council or city council. He's on a council.
Yeah, he's on a council. He's been very, very active. And really, you know, he seems like he would be a great politician. You know, he'd be a great choice. I don't know if he's going to be able to beat the juggernaut that is Sanford. But, you know, he seems like a really, really interesting candidate. Again, he hasn't gotten a lot of play. Santorum backing him, that might have helped perhaps better in the Piedmont or the upstate. Charleston, again, I guess the joke is, I guess what I found here in South Carolina, Charleston's kind of like the country club Republicans, and I guess has been. I was looking at, you know, data, election data since the 1960s, kind of that idea. So kind of a different type of Republican, I would guess, in Charleston mostly. Now, I'm sure that there are some people who did back Santorum or would like some of the things that Santorum has to say, and that might help. But I think from what I've seen from a lot of election results of past primaries, if you look at the type of Republican that is in and around Charleston, it's a different type of Republican than from the upstate. Santorum, I mean, it can't hurt.
Sure.
So it should be able to help just a little bit, but it maybe some other firepower. And that's kind of something interesting. I would be surprised. I'm surprised maybe that the party hasn't tried to do a little something to maybe they see kind of the writing on the wall and realize that this is just something that they'll have to deal with. And that's kind of my guess. But, you know, I'm a little surprised that something wasn't done because that, you know, Mark Sanford, again, the GOP has a problem with women at this point. There is that voting gap, and I don't think that this helps at all, quite frankly, having him in all this. So, yeah, I'm a little surprised that more people have not, you know, tried to do something. Maybe, again, maybe the party doesn't want to step in, and usually they don't during a primary unless, you know, you have extreme circumstances.
Sure.
But I'm surprised more people outside of Santorum have not jumped in to try to maybe sway this one way or another because of the baggage that comes along with Sanford.
Interesting. Well, we are here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We are talking with Chad Kinsella and Richard Stone. We only have a couple of minutes left. And what about Elizabeth Colbert Bush? What do you think?
I think she has very good name ID.
Even though hers is Colbert.
Yes. and quite frankly, I mean, it goes, a lot of it is name ID. And again, Stephen Colbert is very popular.
Sure.
I mean, especially probably among Democrats. And, you know, I was talking to Richard before we came in today. Special elections is wide open. And, you know,
so we could say it's a crapshoot.
It really is.
Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. And it reminds me back in 2006, again, I'm up and around Ohio. So Ohio's 2nd District, and again, I wouldn't expect anybody around here to know anything about that. It is one of the most more Republican than the 1st District here in South Carolina. Hugely Republican. And again, Rob Portman, who he stepped away, he went to work in the Bush administration, now the U.S. Senator in Ohio, that was his district, and he would win that handily, 80% of the vote, typically. Most of the time, nobody would run against him. So it was thought, so he left, there was a special election, you know, about the same amount of Republicans ran, and then basically, it was like 4 Democrats. A Democrat won handily. He was, I can't remember his name, but he was a Iraq War veteran, he was a lawyer, and running against this lady. And again, my prediction was, it's like that district is so Republican.
No way.
Even though you have that Democrat, there's no way that he could possibly win. Sure enough, on that night, it was a nail biter. I think she won by somewhere around 1,000 votes. It was really, really close. So again, everybody had thought that it was Jean Schmidt, I think, and she became a national figure for dubious reasons as well.
This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just needed to do that.
No problem. But anyway, it was a nail biter. It was a really close election. So, and again, and that was kind of a prognostication of things to come, because 2006 was not a good year for Republicans overall. So, you know, we'll see. You have to have a good ground game. And if, you know, if she's able to, you know, clearly she has Democrats on her side. She won by 95% of the vote or something along right. those lines. If she can get those people to turn out, and if the Republicans are maybe even just a little bit leery,
like Richard,
and I, you know, there's got to be some people that, just like Richard who are going to say, you know, I don't really like the choices here. You know, they're not probably, you know, Republicans aren't going to cross over, even if they might consider themselves independents, typically vote Republican. They're not going to cross over and vote for a Democrat. But if they don't show up, then
that's the issue.
That's the issue. If Democrats are fired up and Republicans are not, and they have a better ground game, they can turn that. I don't know how long she'll stay there, but, you know, anything is possible
in a
special
election. It's a short period of time.
No, it is.
Absolutely.
I think, what is the election? Is it May 8th or something? Mm-hmm. It's coming right up, so it's very, very close.
It is coming up. So, I mean, if they have that ground game, I mean, special elections are kind of, it is kind of the crapshoot, as you say. Basically, anything can happen. And I have not seen how much money she has or what she has, but I'm sure, you know,
she's got a good amount of money.
I wouldn't be surprised that she does. And I'm sure if she can show any type of poll that shows that she's close, you know, and the DCCC steps in and provides some of that ground game and some of that extra money, mm-hmm. you know, it's anybody's ball game at that point. So special elections, be very, very, you know, cautious, because anything can happen in those type of districts. So, Anthony Weiner, again, if you think about that special election, a Republican won that. That is a heavily Democratic district. So again, special elections, it's you never know.
Well, that is the primary runoff between Curtis Bostick and Governor Mark Sanford is April 2nd. The the election itself is May 7th. And we didn't even talk about the Green Party. But hey, we're out of time here, folks. I'm Ann Eller. Richard Stone, glad for you to come by and give us your opinions here this morning. Always good to get a young person's view.
I appreciate being invited back. Thank you.
You're welcome. And Chad Kinsella, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and coming to talk politics with me this morning.
It is an honor and a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. That'll do it for us. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. We'll join the news in progress. We'll be playing this back this afternoon at 4:00. If you missed any of it, tune back in 4:05 for Meet Me at the Diner right here on WCRS.